B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, October 25th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to take a look at the top 12 creepiest enemies in all of video games. Plus, we're going to talk about what we're going to get up to this weekend. Lots of new releases, so we're going to find out what we're playing. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about Stadia. Google has actually announced the very first Stadia first-party studio.
Yep, so Google's announced the opening of Stadia Games and Entertainment in Montreal.
So it's just them.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay,
great. Studio dedicated to creating first-party titles for Stadia. I mean,
that's like going, oh, guys, we've got such a big announcement. Surprise! It's me.
It's us.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
What was that? What was the announcement like when Microsoft announced Microsoft Studios?
It was at E3.
Ho-hum.
When they announced
who they acquired to be Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
See, that
was a different thing.
I anticipated that Stadia and Google would be making their own games.
Right.
But when you actually pick up, like, you know, a name like what BioWare used to be, or you pick up an Ubisoft or something like that, then I'll get maybe a little bit more excited for it.
So obviously many jobs are available and can be applied for at their website. The goal will be for them to create first-party games specifically tailored to the platform. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about with this, because typically when you have a first-party studio, the goal is they are designing it with your one platform in mind. It should be perfectly optimized to what that platform is capable of doing.
Right.
So I really wanted to kind of dig in on what does that look like for a cloud-based gaming platform like Stadia?
I think that
it's new. First
the
of all.
Most the most obvious answer there is scale, size.
Yes,
right. Because the most interesting, at least to me, the most interesting aspect of Stadia is the fact that you don't have to host any of the files locally.
Right,
and so that the limitations that surround games in terms of, like, can we fit it on a disc? Is that an unreasonable download size?
Right.
You know,
those go away.
Yes, they go away instantly. We know that video game companies have been very cavalier about it. There have been some games who have 250 gigs worth of downloading that you have to do
right.
to be able to play, especially with, you know, HD games.
Right.
You know, 4K games, that kind of stuff. So I think that to me seems to be the most obvious place to start. So you might be able to push fidelity a little bit too, with
the
some system optimization.
Given the theoretical way that Stadia works, so obviously we won't know how well it works until it gets here on November 19th. But given the way that it's supposed to work, is there any reason in your mind they couldn't say, we've created the game for the map for our new game. It's 4 terabytes. That's the size of it.
No,
theoretically, they can do that now.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like that's probably the best application for the service as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's the direction that they're going to go in right out of the gate.
No, not starting out. I don't see that. I don't think you try your best to push the entire platform to its limits in its first sort of, you know,
outing.
But the idea that the developers don't have the limitations on them that they normally would have is great.
No, I think it's awesome. To me, what this says is, all right, now tell me what you're going to be developing that I have to get Stadia for now.
Right.
Because, you know, when it was first announced, our main thing was, okay, well, what's the exclusives?
Yeah.
What do you have that I can't get anywhere else?
You have a bunch of games that are already out that if I wanted to play them, I already have.
I either already have or I could get them from somewhere else for cheaper. And so that was the big question for me when I heard about Stadia was what's going to be the killer app that gets me involved. And by announcing that you're going to have a first-party studio tells me that there is definitely going to be a commitment to developing exclusives and to creating exclusives, because the best way to have an exclusive is to have your own studio.
Can you guys even imagine the load times that would be on a 4 terabyte map size?
Luckily you won't have to. The load times will be handled on their side.
But you still have to sit through it. I mean, because you would have to read at least a good portion of that data off of the hard drive in the first f***ing place.
Right. So one of the things that I keep seeing bandied about with this is the idea of a full physics engine. Because typically speaking, physics are always done in very limited sections of a game. There's no reason for me to build the physics of a wall into a game when really all I need the wall to do is say, I'm not allowed to walk through this.
Do you guys remember physics processors when they tried to make that an add-on for PCs?
Yeah, when you used to be able to buy a video card and then also buy a physics card.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That very garbage.
That brief moment in time where that was happening.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think that the possibility of that, because that's where we get a lot of destructible environments.
Right.
That the potential there is really cool.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, again, like, how long is it going to take them to really get to that point?
Yeah,
that is what I think is going to be the make or break here.
And that does seem like something we have to keep going back to. Stadia is a lot of potential, which I mean in all fairness, all new innovations are about potential at the starting point. But you know what kind of irked me about this article, as someone who's invested in Stadia already, was you guys didn't already have a first-party studio working on stuff for you?
See, and that's another thing that I thought was weird, because
we're a month out from release.
Yeah.
How was the platform not have a first-party studio the day it was announced?
And on top of that, also to your question, Joe, what I have been expecting, what I expected from this, you know, when this first story came, was you don't necessarily have to have your own IP ready to go for me. I don't expect that, but I did expect some crazy announcements, because they're Google after all. They have all the money they need. We just acquired insert big name here, and now we have their full list of games that going forward will only be available in Stadia.
I believe that if Stadia sees a decent amount of, like, if it doesn't crash and burn first year, we will see Google start to throw that wallet around.
And I agree with that, because first of all, cloud-based gaming and all this other stuff, the only proof of concept that we've had of it is stuff like PlayStation Now, which is not perfect. So,
oh man, tell me about it. Yeah. Even the remote play for the Vita and Vita TV,
not perfect,
leaves a lot to be desired.
So,
I mean, it's cool in concept, but it's not always perfect.
Yeah, so I can't see a major developer or company taking a chance on Stadia just because it's Google.
Agreed.
Like, not from that standpoint. Now, once this is out, as Joe said, for a couple years, I get it. But right out of the gate, let's say they throw that bag at, you know, Rocksteady Games or something, somebody like that, right? Okay, they're gonna go and they can only get it here. I have to take all my stuff down from all these other platforms that I've made relationships with, that have, you know, sold my games and made us a lot of money. No, you, I'm not doing that.
Man.
Excuse me, F you. I'm
no, but that. if they threw money at Rocksteady and this new Batman Arkham or Origins, whatever, so we can play the whole Bat family.
Yeah,
you know, if it comes out in a few weeks, that, hey, that's only gonna be available on Google Stadia. That might move the needle for some people.
Man, you guys are thinking too small.
Oh, I'm aware.
Money. They're going to buy Steam or someone like that if they want to go
whole
hog.
If they bought up CD Projekt Red, Cyberpunk's only on Stadia.
It would be a very big studio. But the question is it going to be a big studio with enough names and enough titles to get people to go, all right, well, I guess I got to go get a Stadia?
Well, but, I mean, there's another factor here where, like, the service is eventually going to be free, and then you have to just buy the games on the service.
Yeah.
Like, once the service is available to everyone for no cost,
fans a controller, basically.
Yeah, that's a game changer. Like, that's
without a doubt.
That's no matter what, that's massive.
Yeah.
So I think that there are some underlying technology aspects, and, you know, that pricing, hey, you can't beat free $99.
It's true. You can't.
I think Stadia really has those in its favor. And I think maybe we may have placed too many expectations on this and expected them to go try to go toe to toe with Steam Epic Launcher. I don't know that they're I don't think that's their calculus.
No, I agree. I think that this is something that is very much so a, I don't want to say experiment, but this is something that they're saying, all right, if this works, then our next iteration of it will be
a world beater.
Because right now, first of all, in any environment that is not complete 5G infrastructure, we know about data caps. We know about how fiber has not reached the middle of the country and many other places. This is not something that is even going to see widespread adoption. It just simply is not. The infrastructure is not there for it. So to say that, yeah, it was going to come out and do all these things that everybody said it was going to do within like that first year or so, no, I don't think that's even possible.
Yeah, no, I think that that's really unreasonable. And, you know, it really does stand to mention that, you know, Stadia is probably going to take the better part of 2 or 3 years to get a library underneath it that people are really satisfied with.
It took the PS4 like 3 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's reasonable. I mean, it is worth noting that their original run for buying into Stadia is sold out everywhere now.
Right.
You are on a waiting list at this point if you want to get in on Stadia. So it's not like, it's not like they've failed to meet their early bars.
That's a really good point. Listen, we want to hear from you. What's your take on Stadia opening a first-party studio? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to preview what we're going to be doing over the weekend. Lots of big game releases. So what are we playing? We'll let you know to wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to talk the top 12 creepiest enemies in all of video games. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
What's the creepiest thing you've ever fought in a video game? We're going to come up with a list of the 12 creepiest enemies in all of video games. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, and The Other Identity. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. You know, we fight a lot of enemies in video games, and sometimes they can be a little bit more unsettling than others.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got some phenomenal horror games out there, your Resident Evils that, you know, provide endless waves of zombies for you to be able to kill. You've got, other games like Mortal Kombat that provide you some incredible violence. But I got to ask, what are the creepiest enemies that you've ever fought in video games? And in fact, we're each going to come up with 3.
Okay.
To have a list of 12.
All right.
I like it.
All right. I'll lead it off.
All right.
I got to go some low-hanging fruit, and that's simply Pyramid Head from Silent Hill 2.
I almost picked Pyramid Head.
Yeah. Pyramid Head's terrifying, man.
I agree that Pyramid Head is terrifying, but the nurses I thought were way creepier.
You
in Silent Hill 2.
Took mine.
Oh, really?
That I said.
It's not
nurse.
His turn yet. It's you can take it still.
Yeah, it's yours technically.
Then I am going to initiate a steal, and I'm going to say nurse.
The nurse from Silent
the nurse
Hill 2.
But I am going to agree with you, Joe, that the nurses in Silent Hill 2 were
terrifying.
Always way more unsettling.
See,
than Pyramid Head.
I didn't get...
Because Pyramid Head could sometimes not attack you, too.
Yeah, but then
he'd
just also...
menace you.
Yeah, but then he'd also go over to the mannequins and, like, molest them and move his body like that. And I just... Ew, it makes my skin crawl.
All right. I'm going to go over to the Fatal Frame franchise for my first one. In Fatal Frame 2, there was the girl who had fallen and broken her neck.
Oh, yeah.
When she appears in front of you, she's always got, like, her neck, like... basically hanging off. Oh, God. It's so creepy.
Yikes.
I know.
Forgot all about that.
That enemy. And, like, for in a game full of enemies that give you the creeps, that one always, like, gave me the willies. I hated that one.
Fair enough. Robbie, what about you?
All right. So, Mying is a monster that only recently, the last few iterations of it, has really sort of came into the creepiness factor. And this is a monster that's been known to put its prey to sleep and devour their dreams. And that's drowsy. And specifically,
are you about
the Pokemon?
The Pokemon, specifically in Pokemon Go, when he has that weird finger thing that he does, and because he has that nose, I just imagine like the sound he makes just as he comes up to put that snout on you. He's creepy.
If we're gonna do Pokemon, we got to talk about Drifloon, whose actual lore is that it wraps around a kid, like it's a balloon Pokemon that wraps around a kid's wrist and just takes them away.
Oh my gosh.
That's the Pokemon. That's what it does.
Yeah.
How has that not been hunted to extinction?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So for me, the chat actually took words right out of my mouth. It's the Redeads from the Legend of Zelda games.
The ones that scream when you look at
them? That's right. They can't hit line of sight on you because they will scream and freeze you wherever you are. So it is absolutely horrifying to ever come across Redeads unless you know the Sun Song.
That's true. Fair enough.
Reminds me a little bit of Left 4 Dead, the screamers in Left 4 Dead.
Oh, The Witch.
Yeah,
Left 4 Dead 2, yeah. Or 1, 2,
But,
yeah.
In you know, kind of along those same lines, though, Dead Space, I've talked about this a couple of times, was a game that stayed with me even, you know, because I even played it when I was in college. I was a grown-ass man.
Yeah, fully adult.
Full adult.
Yeah.
Kind of getting freaked out by this game. Pretty much everything in Dead Space can fall into this character or category. But if I had to pick one, it would probably be the Swarmer.
The Swarmer? I was particularly deadly. The Swarmer is terrifying. I thought the Stalker was the scariest of them, but okay. The Swarmer, I'll give you the Swarmer too.
All right.
Yeah.
So kind of the opposite here, Nate. This is one that I was only, I think, afraid of because I was young when I was playing it. But in Duke Nukem 3D... In Duke Nukem 3D, in the second act, you start running into these enemies that, like, they're these fat demons that are floating on a thing, and it wasn't...
I know
those!
They
shot the rockets at you. But it wasn't that they were, you know, demons or what they look like. It was the noises they made. They had this really creepy laugh, and they, like, from a distance, you hear them go, "Suck it down." Like, you'd hear that.
What?
Like, and it,
no!
That scared the heck out of me when I was
no!
a kid. I was like, no.
Ew.
Even their laughs, like, it wasn't good, man.
All right, so
that scared me when I was a kid.
I have another one. It's a indie game off Steam called Among the Sleep, where you play as a toddler and you're just kind of going through all these really creepy just areas and whatnot. And there's always this shadow that's following you that represents like the main antagonist. And by the end of the game, because it's always like banging into walls and stuff, and by the end of the game, it's revealed that that's the manifestation of the mother who was like abusive to the child. And at the end, when you finally find the light, your dad picks you up and takes you out of the house.
I love Among the Sleep.
There was something that was always just extra creepy about that game where nothing can actually kill you. There's no real danger to it.
Right.
But oh man.
All right. So what are we calling that?
Mother's Shadow.
Sure, we'll go with that. We've only got about 2.5 minutes left, so this last round has got to go fairly quickly. Norris, what's your last addition?
I had it, and then Mother Shadow just completely just took me out of it. But one that I definitely will say is the Verdugo from Resident Evil 4, I believe.
Yep.
You fight it, and you're stuck down there fighting it, and you technically have a really hard time killing it. But guess what? play. It runs. It runs in a game where nothing you fight runs.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was like, nah, dog, I'm out.
For me, I think the Wendigo from Fallout 76.
Oh, you took my last one.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I thought
that was one that when you first find in the game, it genuinely terrified me.
Genuinely jarring, and sort of like you, Joe, it comes down to the audio design.
Yeah.
Very well executed, can be very terrifying if you're not expecting it.
So I'm going to take us over to Alien Isolation for my last one, but not the Xenomorph. The average Joes, the androids on that platform are terrifying. They just walk at you slowly. Sometimes they hate you. Sometimes they don't. They creep me out. I do not like the average
Sounds
Joes.
Like androids from an Aliens movie.
Pretty much.
Since I stole yours, I feel kind of bad.
No, that's fine. I do have a backup. As I was going through looking for Among the Sleep because I couldn't remember the name of it, I saw a game called Mating Simulator. So my last one's going to be the people who created that.
The people who made the game?
Yes, the people who made Mating Simulator.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
All right.
I've got it written down. That counts. That genuinely counts.
That one broke me.
That could easily go to number one, I think, for creepiest.
Sure.
I do not want to meet those people.
It's reasonable.
Sure. Absolutely. Listen, we want to hear from you. What are the creepiest enemies that you've ever fought in a video game? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to talk about what we're going to get up to over the weekend. It's a big gaming release weekend. So what are we playing? Stick around. We're going to talk about it ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Friday!
Yes!
So, it's not just Friday, but it's a big game release weekend. So we thought we would tell you what we're going to be getting up to over the weekend. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN 1200 and 1440 in Syracuse and ESPN 1310 and 1350 in Utica, Rome. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the Peapod Network at peapodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress, two shows you can find streaming right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Make sure you subscribe to their podcast feed over at peapodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. It is a big weekend for gaming releases. Modern Warfare, we've got The Outer Worlds, so I thought I'd ask you guys, what are you planning on doing this weekend?
Shooting games. War, fight. That's what I'm playing, and I'm playing a lot of Call of Duty. I'm amped up. I got Red Bull getting injected directly into my veins. I'm not sleeping. I've been lifting weights, all this type of stuff. Dog, I'm
move the
ready.
Computer into the bathroom.
That's right. Modern Warfare all day, every day.
So clearly Norris is playing The Outer Worlds.
Yeah, clearly.
Shut up!
Now that actually transitions into what my mission for the weekend is. Isn't just to play Outer Worlds, because that's what I picked up. Is I'm going to be letting Norris know all the cool things that I do. And my mission is to get him so hyped, because earlier he's like, yeah, it's cool. He tried out the character creator. He's like, well, I'll wait for it, you know, in sort of the downtime months. There's not a lot of games and it goes on sale. I'll pick it up then. My mission is to let him know all the cool, amazing things that I'm doing, that he gets so hyped for it that he has to go out and buy it.
Ugh.
What's in it for me?
An awesome game.
You get to play the game.
No. You also get to customize the armor and the items that your companions are wearing.
Oh.
So they don't have that same look throughout the entire game.
So it's Fallout.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's Mass Effect.
It's more Mass Effect because you also get to customize. Like your armor has like four different slots where you can put in like a skill slot, a combat slot, like two different ones. You get to customize all your weapons. One of the things that I read was no matter what your build is, like let's say you want to do a stealth build, well normally something like a shotgun would probably be out of the question then. All weapons can be customized to be playable and make sense with all styles of play.
So let me ask you this. Can I sit...
I put a silencer on a grenade launcher.
Can I... first of all, that's awesome. second of all, but can I sit in an AC-130 and rain down multiple explosive-type bullets into a field of fire and see an entire airfield explode within a matter of seconds?
You do get your own spaceship. And
is it an AC-130, Robbie?
If you can do planetary bombardment, who cares?
Yeah.
It is the future of that. I mean, look, your companions all get their own customizable living quarters within the spaceship as well.
Oh, I'm never going to stop playing this game. Oh, no, it's going to be my Fallout 4, Nate. Oh, no.
I'm excited.
Oh, God,
help
me.
I'm 2 hours into it, man. I'm excited.
Okay. Outer Worlds is kind of priority.
Wait, but I thought you were waiting a week and a half to pick it up, Joseph.
Well, courtesy of the real Hot Chili Pepper.
He gifted it to me?
I have a copy of Xbox Game Pass.
Oh,
so
you better beat it in 30 days.
The real Hot Chili Pepper.
No, I'm never
going
to be able to.
Yep,
the real Hot Chili Pepper is the real MVP.
I'll say so. Yeah, now that's been added to my list. But obviously, not only that, but it is continuation of Worlds for League of Legends happening this weekend.
I'm going to be doing that too.
So while I no longer have to wake up early to watch because North America's not in it anymore, I can just watch whenever. I will be watching Invictus play this weekend. I believe it's Invictus and Griffin.
Invictus and Griffin, G2, and I had to pull it up. But that's the match I'm watching. Well, I'm watching the G2 matches.
But who are you pulling for at this point?
That's a hard question.
EU?
No, not pulling for... I'm pulling my bracket at this point. SK. I'm pulling for SKT. Wait,
who from EU is even still left?
All three of them.
Oh, really?
Fnatic, yeah. Fnatic, G2, and Splice.
All made it. It's infuriating. I hope they all lose on the first weekend.
Damwon's going all the way.
You know what?
You are so petty.
The way Damwon been playing?
So petty.
The way Damwon been playing, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and Robbie, you called it with your bracket. You have Damwon going the distance,
right?
So, and I'll say it again. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Because if Damwon goes all the way, what a story that'll be.
Yeah. It'll be you and Mark Z.
On the first weekend?
Yeah. Mm. It'll be you and Mark Z as the only actual human beings that I've ever heard say Damwon have a chance.
Nice.
All right, Nate, well, how about you?
So I technically have not bought the Outer Worlds yet.
You're gonna though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't get the store page.
Yeah, I had the same problem last night.
Yeah, even I, who had actually bought it, the store page still wasn't loading. Yeah.
I mean, server issues, man, because couldn't play.
It loaded this morning, so yeah. I do know that it is working. So yeah, I do plan on plugging some hours into that. If I'm going to be spending the $12.99 a month on the Fallout 76 membership
on Fallout First or whatever.
Yeah,
it's called.
Fallout First. I should probably use
you
that.
Might
as well
use it. Yeah, I would think so.
So I'll probably end up playing a little bit of Fallout. And my most recent obsession is WWE 2K19
for sure.
Went back to that for the universe mode and been having a really stupid amount of fun playing that. So,
fair.
I'm definitely not getting 2K20. I did see that.
Yeah, Sony's offering refunds on it now.
Wow. Even Sony? Oof. You know you f***ed up when Sony is getting in on that. But I did see that our good friend James from the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show, as well as Nerd Radio, picked up a copy of both The Outer Worlds and WWE 2K20 today. So it was a very good choice and a very bad choice made back to back.
Well done, James.
So I'm curious to get his take on 2K20 and how bad it really is. Because, I mean, you know, I was watching some of the Twitch Rivals stuff that they had for 2K20 on release day the other day.
Yeah.
And most of what they showed off there was pretty non-egregious.
It looks, when it works, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, when it works, it's mediocre.
I think it's actually fine.
Compared to 19, those models, and some of the physics, still.
Well, I mean, yeah. I'd say 19 is better, but I mean, 20 looks fine. when it works. I mean, when it doesn't work, it looks horrific. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, but
it's a train wreck.
Did I mention, by the way, or how the Outer Worlds shames you for sucking at the game?
No.
They have a flaws and perk system. Now, perks, every few levels, you get a perk point, you put it in, right?
Yeah.
But if you suck too much at certain things, like let's say you're getting hit by plasma way too much, mm-hmm. you can take that on as a flaw, and now you take more damage from plasma, but you get another perk point in place of it.
So if your accuracy sucks, maybe they're like, yeah, it's because you have a bad eye.
Yeah, so you can like take a perk and like reduced accuracy and then maybe put that new perk point into like increased melee damage strength. Or yeah. something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like that, yeah. actually. Again, that sounds very D&D-esque. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if I have a player who's struggling with something, yeah, let them, you know, take a flaw that justifies why they struggle with it so much and give them a perk and something else.
That's right.
I like it. Also, by the way, going on this weekend, some CSGO Star Ladder is happening, or Star Series, rather, pardon me, is happening this weekend. Renegade's mm-hmm. still in it. They have a game against MIBR tomorrow in the loser's bracket.
How'd they end up doing against Evil Geniuses?
Yeah, not great.
Okay.
Not great.
That's why they're in the loser's bracket.
That's their loser's bracket, but they had a rough day against Evil Geniuses, but, I mean, of course, I like Evil Geniuses, too, so I'm not, you know, too broken up about it, but, hey, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens tomorrow.
Any other esports going on over the weekend? Like, I mean, I know we've got Worlds,
sure
we've got CSGO, but...
ESL One Hamburg is this weekend, isn't it? I believe that is also this weekend.
ESL Hamburgla.
Yes, so that's Dota.
Robble.
ESL Hamburg.
Yes, that is this weekend. So some Dota action going on as well, if you want to check that out.
All right. Well, that's what we're getting up to over the weekend. We want to hear from you, especially on your weekend. Send us pictures of what you're doing. We'll make fun of you.
What's your plan?
Yeah.
We'll totally make fun of you.
We'll totally make fun of you.
But not in the bathroom. Don't send us pictures in the bathroom.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, you think we're not going to make fun of you if you send us pictures in the bathroom?
Well, we definitely will. Oh, I don't want that.
I'll tell you what. Enough people do it. We'll talk about it on Monday.
There it is.
You're right. We will. I don't know if we'll be happy about it, but we will.
All right, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily.
It's got really weird really fast.
It did. Yeah. It did.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to bail out.
All right, cool. Let's
bail.
Bail.
Abort.
Eject.
Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily.
Pull up!
The first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-host who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.